Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to be able to dig deeper into the book of Revelation here, to be able to get a glimpse into the prophecies of the things that are going to occur during the last days. It gives us that inspiration. It gives us that hope of knowing the glorious things You have in store for the Christians. But it gives us that urgency to get out and spread the gospel because of the things that are going to befall the unbelievers. Please give us that motivation. Help us now as we get into Your Word. Lead, guide, and direct everything, that it all bring honor and glory to You. So pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. The book of Revelation, chapter 20. We'll get right into it here. And it reads, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. We know in chapter 19 that we just covered, the battle of Armageddon has been finished. Jesus appeared with all of his army, which is the righteous that have come with him, the dead that were judged in the judgment seat of Christ and received those white robes, and they rode in as well. But Jesus Christ, the battle of Armageddon was ended, was by His word. I mean, He spoke and He basically wiped them all out and has cast them, the evil dead, into hell. And now He is binding. In chapter 20 here, we see the angel. This angel that is binding Satan is probably the one that in the chapters earlier he opened the bottomless pit, had the keys to the bottomless pit then. So he took most likely the same one, bound Satan with that chain, and is cast into the bottomless pit where he will stay for 1,000 years, which is going to be what we commonly know as the millennial period. The first part of millennium is a Greek word which means 1,000. So it's 1,000 years from the Greek. Chapter 20, verse 1, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season." For 1,000 years he will be bound. Now we know the false prophet and the Antichrist have already been cast into the lake of fire. There in the end of the end of the Battle of Armageddon, he lays hold on them, casts them into the lake of fire. Satan is not cast into the lake of fire yet. He's put in a separate holding place all by himself, known as the bottomless pit. That would be a perfect holding place for him in the core of the earth while the millennial period goes on, because he has to be opened and loosed from that, as it says, for a little season. Loosed a little season. Now you would think for 1,000 years, as Jesus Christ rules and reigns, and as it says here in verse 4, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So you got Jesus Christ living here amongst us on the earth. Those of us that are born again now will rule and reign with him. Those that are born again, all of the past, those that are martyred during the tribulation time, all will have different positions and jobs to do during that millennial period. And you would think with that many Christian leaders and Jesus Christ being the ultimate leader right there, ruling and reigning, that there would not be any sin whatsoever on the planet. So why would Satan have to be loosed and given an opportunity to tempt the world once again? It's because if you look at the heart of man, it is evil anyway. I mean, all the way back to the Garden of Eden, the perfect situation there. There was Adam and Eve and Jesus Christ right there walking amongst them in the garden. Satan approached them, and that close personal relationship there they had with Jesus Christ, and they turned against Him and went against what He asked them not to do. Went against that. I mean, simple thing is that. So you know, within us is the potential to sin. So all those people, you say, well, who's going to sin? We've got all these Christians. Well, during the millennial period, there will be people born. Take 1,000 years. A lot of folks will be born during that 1,000 years. Born and living amongst a lot of Christian folks. But still, with the opportunity to turn against God. They have to show their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, just like everyone else, in order to not be thrown into the thrown into the lake of fire with all the other sinners. That is why Satan will be loosed for a little season to tempt all those that are born during that 1,000 years. There's a scripture in Isaiah 65 verse 20 speaking of the age of children. Well, let's turn over there. Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20. It can be interpreted just different ways, of course, as many verses can be. But in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20, reads, There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. A little clue on an infant, a 100-year-old person will be considered an infant, just a child, because the thing's going to be restored on this planet for the millennial period. The conditions of the earth, the living conditions, the air, I mean, it gets so badly damaged during the tribulation period. The Lord will restore all that again during the millennial period. And you'll be able to live hundreds of years. Maybe even live the full 1,000 through that if you're born very early in the millennial period. So there'll be people that will grow to great ages. So there'll be lots of time for them to have their imaginations run wild with sinful behavior. Just as it has been in the past, as it was before the days of Noah. We have clues about that as well in here. So, having Satan loosed for a season, we're not told how long that season is. But we know that he's going to be bound for 1,000 years. So it's going to be relatively short at the end of the 1,000 years. Which is just called a season. And tempt all those that are born during the millennial period. And as we see as we go further on here, there's going to be a lot of people born during that time. Continuing to verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. This is talking about all the evil dead of all the past that had died and were killed during the Battle of Armageddon, died through the tribulation, died all the way back to Abel being the first one that died. All of them that are lost. Of course, Abel was considered righteous, so he won't be a part of this group. But just using that as an example, all the way back to the beginning, all those that have died that were evil dead will not be a part of the millennial period. They will be judged at the end of the millennial period. Because it says they were not lived, because everyone will be resurrected to go to judgment, even the evil dead that are in Sheol, Hades, hell, whatever you want to title it. Read verse 5 again. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So everyone, as I said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Of such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. As it pulls all this together in verse 6, The ones that will rule and reign 1,000 years for Jesus Christ are the righteous. All the unrighteous are still going to be in their grave or in hell or in the sea, and many different references to that, not being a part of that, not yet judged for their eternal state. We know they're not going to heaven, because if they were, they would be part of this. Verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years were expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea." As the sand of the sea. That's a lot of people that decided to follow Satan instead of Christ during the millennial period. This is not talking about all the evil dead of all the past. This is talking about all those that were born during the millennial period that turned against God and chose to follow Satan, who was only loosed for a season, a little season, not for the 1,000 years. It didn't take Satan 1,000 years to deceive them. Just like it took just one conversation to deceive Eve. It won't take that much to deceive those whose hearts are not righteous to begin with, whose hearts are not sincerely in belief of Jesus Christ or acknowledging Him as their Lord and Savior. And the number will be as the sand of the sea. So there are going to be a lot of folks born during a millennial period that will turn against God and follow Satan. As it continues here in verse 9, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." So one more time, Satan tries to disturb or to foil or to end the reign of Jesus Christ there in the city, the beloved city, as it says, which is believed to be the restored city of Jerusalem, and the camp of the saints. So this area where the saints are ruling and reigning, all these people gather together to come and try to conquer Christ and His followers once again. Satan makes one more attempt. He lost at the Battle of Armageddon. He's lost all through history, but yet he knows his days are numbered. He's making one more play at the throne, you might say. One more attempt at a coup. And as you see, fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. So this time, it wasn't the word of Jesus Christ that spoke and everybody got wiped out like the Battle of Armageddon. This time, God Almighty, the Heavenly Father, right from heaven, spewed fire down and devoured all of them that were following Satan, including Satan himself. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So that is what the devil is going to be facing for eternity. Now we know, as the scriptures tell us, that the lake of fire was created for Satan and his angels, those that turned against God. It wasn't created for man, but because of man's choice to follow Satan instead of God, they're also going to be going there, as we'll see as it goes further into the next step here, which is in verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." That little verse in there about the heaven and the earth fleeing away and no place for them is when he totally destroys the earth. Wiped out, gone, disappear. If you will, turn over to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's look at verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The elements, I mean, that's every tiny little particle that we're made up of, and everything around us is going to melt away, gone, totally wiped out. And that is what it's speaking of in Revelation chapter 20, where it speaks of the, verse 11, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them, because they did not exist anymore. Wiped out, totally gone. Now you have some talk about the restoration period. They get the verses that apply to the millennial time, and they applied it to eternity. And they say that the earth that we're on right now is going to be remodeled. That God's just going to burn the surface and then restore it. And then we're going to live on this earth for eternity. That ain't what the scriptures tell us. They tell us right here it's going to be melted away, even the elements, and it'll be fled. As it says in verse 11, and whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That doesn't mean it's remodeled. That means it is gone. Wiped out. Totally gone. Nothing left. Continuing in verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Great white throne judgment. I've heard it said even by very prominent men of study that this was only going to be the time for the sinners to be judged. I disagree. Everyone will be facing the judgment. And we got to remember, during the millennial period, there's going to be a lot of folks saved in a millennial period. They will have to face the judgment as well. The judgment seat of Christ is prior to the tribulation. Well, I should say beginning and during the part of the tribulation. While things are going on down here, we're also going to be judged up there. The great judgment for all the Christians that are raptured, and everyone that was dead prior to the rapture that are Christians will all be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. So then that leaves all those that were mentioned here that are of the martyred, and all those that are born during the millennial period that are Christians will have to face the judgment also, to be given their rewards for eternity. So they will also be a part of the great white throne judgment. So don't just narrow it down to just the evil dead being judged at the great white throne. No, it's going to be a bigger judgment than that. It'll have to include all those others that have not yet faced a judgment, because we're not given any reference to another judgment being there. So we know that everyone will be judged at this time. And primarily, as it says in verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. Now, this book of life here could possibly be the book of life, not the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's book of life is the book that is everyone who is born again has their name written in that, as we'll see in the next chapter and so forth. But this book of life is the book of the living. Everyone that has been born from conception all the way through, their name is in that. But it also says there's another book there. These other books are the books that record their life, record their behavior, record what they did that they will be judged upon and about. Because it says, according to their works. Some people say, well, they'll all just go into the same lake of fire, and it's just going to be simple. Okay, who's written in the Lamb's Book of Life and who's not? It's going to be a pit over here that everybody gets thrown in, and a beautiful place over here that everybody gets their wings and they float around on fluffy pillow-like clouds and play the harp for eternity. You know, they got this narrow mind of what heaven and hell are about, but it's far more to it than that. The judgments are going to be just. For the ones that are extremely evil will get extreme punishments. From the ones that were just rebellious and did not turn to God, they will get a lesser punishment. They may have been very good people in society's eyes, but yet they are lost. They will not receive the severe punishment as the ones that are severely evil, because it says over and over, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. So that's one place where works will make a difference in someone's life, and that is the life of a sinner. There'll be different degrees of punishment for a sinner for eternity. Continuing here, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. A reference we made about the lake of fire and hell. Hell actually being cast into the lake of fire, because hell is the temporary dwelling place of the evil dead. There is torment there, but not as extreme torment as they will have for eternity if their works so justify such. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. How do you get your name out of the book of life? By the judgment. You are considered dead. You become blotted out of the book of life. Not the Lamb's book of life, the one that has the list of the Christians. The book of life, or the book of the living. So they are, once you get blotted out of that one, you're cast into the lake of fire. That's the second death. There is no return from that. That is total and permanent separation from God for eternity and in the lake of fire of punishment according to your works. So that's chapter 20. It contains so much there that we could go further and go on and on about. But the key points I would like to bring out there is the millennial period, the binding of Satan. He's going to be loose. There's going to be a lot going to follow him. There's going to be that awesome judgment of fire coming down from God. Then everyone that has not yet received a judgment shall be judged at the great white throne judgment, including all the evil dead, because there has not been any judgment of them up to this point. All the evil dead, plus all those that were born again during the tribulation and the millennial period. And then by their works, the evil will be sent into different degrees of punishment in the lake of fire, where death and hell will also be cast into the lake of fire. I will continue into chapter 21 next time, which we see about the new heaven and the new earth. And there's so much we can talk about on that. I urge you to read that over a couple times. But we are out of time, so let's close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to dig into your scriptures here, to find just little morsels that can give us that faith, give us that knowledge, give us that understanding. And we thank you so much for that. And please be with us the rest of the day, that everything that we do will bring honor and glory to you. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.